World with Dr. Keith Suter.
Well, the former US President Donald Trump says he's a victim of political interference at the highest level after a Manhattan grand jury voted to indict him after an inquiry into hush money paid to the porn star Stormy Daniels. He becomes the first former US president to face criminal charges, even as he makes another run for the White House. To talk about this afternoon, we welcome to the program from Global Directions, Dr. Keith Suter. Thank you for your time, Keith. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Ben.
Keith, this has been a long time coming. It was supposed to happen last week. He rallied troops at the start of last week, and it's taken, you know, 7+ days for it to happen. They're suggesting he'll hand himself in next week, about Tuesday American time.
Yes, that's right. So we assume that he'll appear in the New York Criminal Court on Tuesday, the 4th of April. So the background to this is that this is a legal process that Australia's never adopted, and the British dropped the system before they colonised Australia. So it's called a grand jury. So people who have seen murder trials, etc., they're seeing what's called a petty jury. A grand jury was devised by the English in the 13th century. It's actually referred to in the Magna Carta. And it's a jury of citizens that meet together to determine whether there is enough evidence to justify bringing about a trial. So they're not saying the person is innocent or guilty. They're just saying that there is some suspicion here. There is some evidence. Therefore, the person should go ahead to a public trial. So in the United States, the way the grand jury system operates, and only operates in the United States and Liberia, which is an African country with close connections to the United States, the way it operates is the grand jury is impaneled, and they will listen to a number of cases, perhaps, you know, more than one or two in a day, and just say, that's fine, or no, we're not convinced. It's presided over by the Attorney General, or well, it depends on the level of the crime, Attorney General, or what we would call the Director of Public Prosecutions, but it's not a judge, although there is a judge around if they want to have points of law clarified. So, and there's no defence. The person who's under investigation may not ever know that they were ever investigated. It's a top secret process. So none of the jurors are allowed to say, we're currently investigating Donald Trump. And the value of this procedure, which I, you know, it does add another link in the chain towards a trial, but the value of it is that it prevents an overreach by a king, or more recently a government, from just picking people up on the street and putting them straight into a standard trial. They've got to convince some people, the ordinary members of the public, that there is enough evidence to warrant going forward to that next step. So a number of people will have been investigated over the centuries and probably never even knew they were the subject of a grand jury inquiry. This one has been a bit different because you've had people like Michael Cohen talking about going in and giving evidence without, he's not allowed to reveal exactly what he did say. And in fact, he should not even have mentioned that he was going before a grand jury. But with Donald Trump, everything is done differently. But that's the background to it. So we still don't know what the offence that he's going to be accused of. We will find that out when he appears in court on Tuesday or whichever date, because he's currently residing in Florida. He's got to get up to New York. And that means that the Secret Service, which he still has a detachment to protect him, they need to coordinate with their colleagues in New York to be able to guarantee his safety while he's in New York. So it's going to be a very elaborate process. And we were speaking, I think, about this, and I speculated that Donald Trump got to find out that he was going to be arrested because the Secret Service may well have dropped a hint saying, we're talking to our colleagues about how we'll look after you when you get to New York. That would have given him the warning. And on that basis, he issued the tweet last week seeking to raise money for his defence.
Well, he's done that again already today. I think he's repeated that, basically asking supporters to put in what they can, to kick the tin in, if you like, for what they can to help his cause. I would have thought that Donald Trump, if you believe what he says, he's got plenty of money and wouldn't have needed any support financially from his supporters.
Well, that's right. In fact, the last time he did this, he made $1.5 million in 2 days.
Oh, dear.
You've got people who really want to show their loyalty. It's a cult. They want to show their loyalty to their leader. And therefore, they're saying, where do we pay money to help with the cost of defending our leader?
Keith, which way do you see this going? It could go two ways. It could be good for his campaign pushing towards 2024, or could it be bad for his campaign in reference to ending up with the Republican nomination? Because will there be a large chunk of Republicans after this that say, no, our name has been trashed enough, we can't afford to allow it to continue anymore, so Trump won't get the nomination?
Well, this is a two-stage process. So first of all, he's got to get the Republican nomination, and then he goes ahead into the general election, the presidential election, which will be in November of next year. I think this will aid him in the first round in terms of getting the Republican nomination, because it's quite clear from some of his colleagues saying that this is all trumped up, it's politically motivated, etc. So it'll help him in that first round to win over the loyalists within his own party. So he ends up, therefore, as a Republican candidate. But then his problem will be when he is up in the general election against the Democrat contender, possibly Mr. Biden. At that point, a lot of moderate Americans have their say. They get to vote, and they will not vote for Trump. So I think he may well win the nomination, but he will not win the election.
He becomes the first former US president to face criminal charges. Let's crystal ball. What happens if he's found guilty in those criminal charges? Could he end up behind bars, or will there just be a large fine and a slap on the wrist?
Well, the closest precedent we've got to this is Spiro Agnew, who was Richard Nixon's vice president, and he got caught up in tax offences. This was around the time of the Watergate scandal, but Spiro Agnew was not implicated in that scandal. He had his own tax scandal. And the prosecution was satisfied with his resigning from being vice president and paying a fine and going on unsupervised probation. I think the problem is it's a very narrow technical case. So just to refresh our memories, in 2016, he was allegedly blackmailed by a porn star, Stormy Daniels, who was going to release information about their romantic affair. In order to shut her up, it was agreed that she would be paid $130,000. And then that's not illegal. You're allowed to pay hush money to a porn star. What is illegal is how you actually account for it in your election financial records. So we're actually talking about a bookkeeping offence. It's a form of fraud. It's an accounting fraud. So it's got nothing to do with the morality of Stormy Daniels, but it turns on how you actually do the accounting for the sums of money being paid. Michael Cohen, the lawyer, was the intermediary. He's the one who gave her the money. And then the Trump Organization did a pea and thimble trick in terms of reimbursing Michael Cohen. That is the problem. It's a very narrow technical forensic accounting issue. And this is of the four cases that Trump may well be involved in. I think this is the weakest.
Right.
Because the problems will be Stormy Daniels is not a good witness given mm-hmm. her occupation. Mm-hmm. Michael Cohen has already gone to jail for this offense. So how can you rely on him as a lawyer giving evidence? So I think if I were the Trump defense lawyers, I would find this one easier to deal with than the other three that are potentially in the pipeline. So it's going to be very interesting to see if, in fact, the New York district attorney will be able to secure a conviction. And if so, will it be seen as a serious felony, a real criminal offense? So we're looking at some sort of custodial sentence, or whether it just be seen as some sort of misdemeanor. In the same way, if you have problems with your tax, you know, you don't necessarily go to jail, but the ATO will just accept it as a, you know, they will fine you or something. And so this is a real question mark. My concern would be, if I were Donald Trump, that I know there are three other cases coming towards me, and I'm dealing with this one here and now as from next Tuesday, the amount of pressure that is on Trump at the moment is amazing. You know, to be caught up in one legal case is bad enough, but to have four going against you, you know, the mental stamina of this person is quite amazing.
It is. It's always good to talk to you. You're quite amazing. I wonder, just quickly, do you think we'll see pictures on Tuesday of Donald Trump in handcuffs?
No, that's part of the deal. You will not see him being fingerprinted or having mugshots taken.
Okay.
They will try to preserve some dignity and respectability, yeah.
Good. Dr. Keith, have a great weekend. Thank you for making yourself available this afternoon. We always appreciate it.
Thank you.